Today in the show, we have GoDaddy breaking into Web3 with the help of ENS, Cardano migrating to Intersect, Farcaster Frames getting all the buzz in Web3 socials, and so much more. I'm your host, Mauricio Magaldi, and this is Block Drops, your weekly digest on blockchain for business. These news are not a form of endorsement, sponsorship, or encouragement for consumption, and are meant for educational purposes only. One of the things that we feel is probably the most interesting about Web3 is something we call composability. And composability speaks to the ability of any developer to actually leverage assets created by any other developer, no matter how far off they are from the original creation. This is especially true for something called NFTs, the non-fungible tokens. We also call NFTs CRM primitives. Primitives because with composability they can be built upon, but CRM because of customer relationship management, brands and companies can actually manage their ecosystem based on who has their token, which makes it a lot easier for them to actually create this customer-centric reality we keep talking about, but we never achieved. Now, this is also true in the opposite. So as a company or as an individual, having NFTs that you own can also lead to you managing your data better online. And that's exactly what ENS did. ENS is the Ethereum Name Service, and it is a public goods protocol in the Ethereum ecosystem. There are similar protocols in other blockchains and other ecosystems. You can actually register a friendly name in an NFT and associate that with your wallet, which means that if I'm sending you tokens or value over the blockchain, I don't need to know that weird alphanumeric key that is your public key. I can actually refer to you by a name that I can recognize. In the case of one of my Ethereum wallets, you can actually reach me at blockdrops.eth, which is my ENS for that one particular wallet. And that ENS has a lot of metadata that can be leveraged for different purposes. And it's exactly that now GoDaddy, one of the, probably if not the largest domain register of DNS, the domain name service, which is the internet's way of abstracting IP addresses to specific website names, such as, say, Mauricio.com. And now in partnership with ENS, it is now possible for anyone with a GoDaddy account to actually associate their ENS counterpart in the register, which means that between your website and your wallet in Web3, they can now be related and potentially interoperate. So it seems to enable a Web3 component or a Web3 native, which is the NFT that your ENS is represented on, to be registered in the internet registration of your website. And this might lead to a number of things, and I'm imagining this could even serve as an easy way for you to actually collect tokens or interact with other smart contracts between your website and your fans that are visiting, to even maybe, you know, pay for access using your wallet address that is now associated with your website and your ENS name. So once you're in the GoDaddy, this is how it works. Once you're at the GoDaddy, there is a tab that is the ENS domains tab where you can actually go and associate your ENS name to your DNS name. And that becomes part of your internet website registration, which you can then leverage for other uses without requiring you to actually have to program anything. This is going to be very interesting to see, because once that token is associated with the domain name, a lot can happen. And I can only imagine what the most creative developers in this space are going to come up with. Again, the more we can abstract the infrastructure where we operate, which are the blockchains, the easier it's going to be for the Web3 to become just ubiquitous with much less friction, much more user-friendly, and then we can start talking about onboarding the next billion users. So this is a very good call by GoDaddy. Congratulations on to the ENS team on partnering and making that possible. But we will want to see what this new integration really unlocks for the user experience. For those of you who've been listening to the podcast, to Block Drops for a longer time, you probably heard me say things like decentralization is a spectrum. And the reason why I say this is because we're living in a transitional era of Web3. Some of the stuff we're creating can start being really decentralized. Some of them are not, for a variety of reasons. It's timing, it's access to capital, it's access to community. And obviously a few things that start more on the centralized side of the spectrum, what we want to see, because we want to honor the decentralized paradigm, which we are trying to achieve, is to progress in the direction of being increasingly more decentralized. So Cardano, which is one of the most popular blockchains, announced that they're migrating to a model they call Intersect. Intersect is a members-based organization, which will be comprised of a variety of members that will participate in maintaining the code and evolving the roadmap, the technical roadmap for Cardano. If you don't know the story, Cardano was launched by a combination of mainly three different organizations. The first was Input Output Global, also known as IOHK, the Cardano Foundation, and Emurgo. The three of them are what the community considers the steward of Cardano, as they are the three organizations that helped launch the blockchain. Gradually, this organism grew to a variety of other participants. Over a dozen participants now contribute to Cardano core code and evolution. Now, Intersect is actually open sourcing the Cardano code base for more people to contribute, and it's going to be governed as part of this new governance era of Cardano called Voltaire, which is a decentralized governance surrounding the ecosystem. And since October of last year, the work group that is pushing Intersect towards this decentralization took a lot of steps to enable that the code base that was maintained in a variety of different code repositories can be organized and made open in an organized fashion. So they identified repository owners, they set up a registry for the ownership of each repository, they exported or cloned the source repository for archival, they transferred the source repository, they cleaned up the legacy repository, they tested and verified that the builds were happening, the documentation was sound, and then created an organization that will allow people to collaborate and access the code to continue to contribute as an open source project. It's really interesting to see this happening because there's a lot of criticism, especially in the Maxis, say on the more of the proof of work blockchains in general, that decentralization is binary. Either you are decentralized or you're not. But there are various schools of thought that tend to understand decentralization as something that can be progressed over the spectrum, but also they happen in a variety of ways. It happened in the human layer, or the layer zero, as people call it, which is the governance, right? How decisions are made about the core protocol and how that gets evolved or gets ossified or gets forked. But also at the stack level, meaning is it decentralized in terms of geographies? Is it decentralized in terms of the diversity of different clients producing blocks for the blockchain? Is it decentralized in the infrastructure or the computers where these clients run, and how many people are contributing to the core code, whether the code is open source enough? So these are all aspects of decentralization that can be judged in terms of an ecosystem. And there is a new standard emerging called the Edinburgh Decentralization Index that measures decentralization in 9 different dimensions. So there is a lot to be said about how decentralization is a spectrum in a variety of dimensions, and the code base is one of them. So Cardano, in moving towards a more decentralized governance in its entirety, moving the code base into an organization such as Intersect, which is a members-based organization, makes perfect sense, and it's timed against the Cardano roadmap. For the older listeners of the show, one of the things that I've been repeating myself to exhaustion is how much I think social networks will gain a lot from Web3, how much better these things can be. Here on the show, we've explored Lens, we've explored Nostr, what else? Blue Sky and Mastodon, to a certain extent. The latest one we've explored was Frentech, which kind of over-financialized the relationship between a content creator and the followers. It got a lot of buzz in the second half last year, and then it died out because it's really exhausting to keep tabs on the pricing of your relationships across your ecosystem. It's not exactly why people use social networks. The most recent effort we've been exploring is Farcaster. Farcaster is built on Optimism, which is a blockchain based on the Ethereum ecosystem. It's a layer 2 to Ethereum. And they recently announced a new feature called Frames. Frames is the version of their posts called casts. So as much as a Twitter post is a tweet, or was a tweet, a cast is the post in Farcaster. But what Frames does, it allows the poster or the caster to add functionality directly on the post. So it's interactive experiences that you can add to your casts. You can actually add games, or you can put checkouts, or you can mint NFTs, or you can actually create all sorts of interactions on your posts, and you allow the user to interact with that content without leaving the platform, without leaving their feed. And that seems to have been well accepted by the community for a few reasons. So they reached over 10,000 daily active users interacting with those posts. They crossed the mark of 73,000 total users, according to a Doon dashboard. And according to Spindle, a metrics platform, 313 apps launched 526 frames in less than a week. And the use of that has also kind of driven a lot of activity on the platform, meaning that if you think about social networks as a center of interaction and socialization on the internet, regardless of whether it's a Web3 or Web2, and you attract people to become useful within the interactions they have online, there is a lot to gain in terms of network effect. Just my own account, I've added, you know, a dozen new people that are trying Farcaster for the first time in the last weekend. And it's interesting to see how this phenomenon of adding functionality attracts users. And because there's more users, people will try more functionality. And this kind of creates this kind of positive reinforcement effect, which translates in network effect, obviously. And interesting to see. Dan Romero, the co-founder, says that since January 28th, they added 50,000 paying users to the platform, meaning that more than two-thirds of the platform users are paying users, which is how Farcaster remains active and can fund new developments such as these new functionalities. So I'm super excited to see how this develops because one of my theories is that data ownership equals to data portability. And the examples we've had, at least with Lens and Farcaster, are close to what I believe is going to be the reason why people will leave traditional Web2 social networks and will come into Web3 social networks because they can take their audience anywhere. They're not subject to someone else's algorithm. They can actually write their own algorithm with the data that they own and they can take that data anywhere. So interesting to see. If you're not on Farcaster, the link to my account is on the show notes today, and you can connect with me on Farcaster and we can keep doing a little bit of exploration in understanding how Web3 social networks are going to actually function and if they have any fighting chance against the traditional Web2 ones. Because the week was packed full of news, here is more. The FCA in the UK published their review paper on MEV, Maximum Extractable Value, and oracles. The Digital Pound Foundation published their response to the Bank of England discussion paper on regulatory regime for payment systems using stablecoins. The South Korean regulator is going to discuss their spot Bitcoin ETF launch with the SEC, the equivalent US regulator. Former NBA star Dwight Howard is dunking on his fans with a troublesome NFT launch. The Cardano Foundation published their 2023 activity report with lots of goodies. MZero, the new stablecoin protocol, has published their white paper, Reconstructing the Monetary Stack. Softo launched their Beyond Bold, their new Web3 agency in Brazil. Bitso has launched their new report, The Crypto Landscape in Latin America, also full of interesting perspectives for the region. Polygon released a Type 1 Prover, which promises to further ZK interoperability across compatible EVM chains. Digitra, the crypto exchange in Brazil, announced their Crypto Dividends, a passive income product for assets under the exchange's custody. The Future of Sports Fandom is a new report by the folks at Sporting Crypto, Miocene, and Spartan Labs. Black Mirror, the show, and Pixelink launched a Smile to Earn experience in the Pixelink platform. MobiUp, the developer shop in Brazil, released a Web3 upskill course aimed at Web2 developers. Catch us online. We're on Instagram at Block Drops Podcast, on Twitter at Block Drops Pod or Xerox Mauricio. We're on Lens at blockdrops.lens. We have a newsletter on LinkedIn. Write to us at blockdropspodcast@gmail.com, and you can listen to the Block Drops Podcast at Spotify, iColab, Febrebun Tech, and all of the other major streaming platforms.
Yay!
Shoutouts today to the people who shared the links you will find in the episode notes: Pavel Avramovich, Avsa, Jana Pache, Ben O'Halen, Rodrigo Cismar Borges, Pat Berisha, Frederick Gregard, Amanda Marques, Luca Prosperi, Santiago Roque, Boris Premo, Rodrigo Batista, Inderfall, Leandro Pereira, and Rodrigo Cajano. Don't forget to leave your ratings on your favorite player. This is all for today. Stay rare, stay weird. LFG.